Welcome to Podistan, the community for Indian podcasters by Indian podcasters.
Want to hear about the nuts and bolts of podcasting in India? You're in the right place.
Let's jump right in. How bad was the first episode of Film Feud?
In hindsight, from a quality perspective, obviously it was awful, but I just had such a blast, man.
It really was a blast, and I think that goes to a very common phenomenon where the excitement is just at a pure max, right? When you first actually get down to it. So our first episode was recorded on the Blue Yeti, and we sat at like a 45 degree angle, like both of us against one mic, which is like not exactly the best way to do it. Although the Blue Yeti can be used for a decent two-person podcast.
It has a specific mode where it's where you're supposed to position it like that, but yeah, it didn't come out too well.
And you can also make it bi-directional, so you sit on opposite sides, but literally we were using our computer table, so we had no option to do that. I mean,
were we recording directly into Audacity for that?
Yeah, the Blue Yeti is a USB mic, so you have no other option. You have to do that.
As opposed to, I mean, recording an audio file and then pulling it in Audacity into like editing. But yeah, it was pretty horrendous. I remember at the end of the episode, once we were done, I had a pretty good feeling about it in terms of how I thought it would have come out.
So the episode was Star Wars, A New Hope.
A New Hope, we
both loved the movie. So we talked about it for like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And obviously we felt good. That was the first time we were feuding. We were doing pretty much what we love, you know, what we would do anyway.
And I think a big reason of why we felt good was before we started recording the episode, we actually were pretty unsure of how it would turn out because we'd never done it before. Both of us had never recorded ourselves. We were new to the process. We were new to the concept of the show that we'd created as well. So we didn't know how it was going to turn out. So I think, given everything, it actually turned out pretty well, apart from maybe the sound quality.
The problem with the Blue Yeti is that it's a condenser microphone, and in India, that's just not doable. I mean, in the US, it's so popular as a starter mic, but that's because the air conditioning is central and the environments are quiet. In India, like, you have a fan on or you have an AC on, like a window AC. It's going to make a lot of noise, and the Blue Yeti captures all of that. I remember I pulled up the file on Audacity and then I like experimented with noise removal and I was just fascinated at how well the noise was removed. And if you listen to it now, it's just unlistenable purely in terms of sound quality alone.
That one's never going out live, is it?
Well, it did go out live for a few weeks when we were obviously pretty excited about it. And that brings us to an important question. Like, should people release their first episodes no matter how bad they are? I was very intent on doing that because I wanted others. You know, we always had Muncher in mind. We wanted this to be the test case for podcasting for other people. So I thought it would be valuable for other people to see how bad first episodes can be and then just keep it up there and then slowly improve. But I couldn't do it, man. Like, we had to take that down. I couldn't keep it up.
I don't know, man. I still think that it should be up. I think it's a very unique sort of touch point for other people to listen to.
We'll put it out then. We'll put it out on Podistan.
Yeah, let's do it, actually. Let's release it as a bonus episode accompanying this one, maybe, just to help people understand how bad first episodes usually are. So, again, not to get bogged down by what their first episode sounds like, because it only gets better after that.
That's so important, right? Because unlike if you start playing, you know, I bring this up as an example all the time, like the guitar, you can't do it in a silo. You have to put it out there. Only then is it a podcast. I mean, sure, you could record 10 episodes with a guest or solo or with your co-host and only release the 11th one when you get good. But what's the point of that? Like, why not just start putting yourself out there and become better with time? And similarly, on the other hand, when you're like a YouTuber or when you're a stand-up, you have no other option but to actually put yourself out there. That's the only way you become a YouTuber or stand-up. So everybody understands that's part of the journey. And that's true for podcasting as well.
And another thing about podcasting specifically compared to your examples about YouTubing or even being a guitarist is that those other things have so much out there already in terms of someone being able to compare themselves to how good they actually are, as opposed to podcasting, where it's still a very niche ecosystem. And within India, it's even smaller, right? So there's not much to go off of in terms of improving yourself. So the only way to improve yourself consistently and at scale is to put yourself out there, hear what people think about it, and then just constantly iterating your process of recording, your own personal reflections in terms of how you are on the show as well. Because one thing that I've learned over the course of Film Feud till now is We're constantly getting better in terms of how we feud, for example, right? Even though we've known each other for so long, we have a rapport, we have a chemistry. But how that translates to actual content within the show is something that's an iterative process, and it's only getting better. So to hold back and not release something that you've recorded or created is never a good idea. There's no pro to that, essentially.
So now we pretty much have to release our first episode.
We have. I've been a big proponent of that, and now I'm getting ammo to get that out there, so I'm pretty happy.
2 points on what you just said. One is this comparison that you brought up with other people. The thing is, podcasting niche as it is, it's a global ecosystem, and the US is about 12 years ahead. And it shows in every piece of content that comes out, even
right.
Like independent, solo, pretty much like a blog version of a podcast is pretty good because they have tons of resources. Amazon.com has tons more resources and equipment that is going to lead to a better product than Amazon.in does, right? Of course, Muncher, the whole goal is to enable that, right? We'll have good mics. You know, we didn't have anybody to help us walk through on how to do our first episode. We winged it. We looked up online resources. We, of course, don't let other people go through the same process. We have good equipment, good production sensibilities now. But when you first start out, isn't it natural to compare yourself with like the best US podcasts and feel a little intimidated?
Of course, that's natural for everything too. And what I meant about the Indian versus US ecosystem for podcasting was that I wouldn't say podcasting is, of course, podcasting is 10, 12 years ahead in the States, but also the whole pop culture content creation ecosystem, if that makes sense. That's decades ahead in the States as well, right? It's very
sure.
It's very new for India to have a YouTuber or a vlogger or, I mean, we've seen how blogging's picked up, like how people have become influencers using social media and writing and stuff like that. So all this from a content creation point of view is very
putting yourself out there is new to India.
It's new. Yeah, it's new. That whole phenomenon is very new, right? Which is not in the States. The States, like people are very attuned to this sort of content creation angle, putting themselves out there, using the internet to leverage the internet to create music or video or audio, just podcasts in general. So I think that's something that we as Indians are getting better and better at. So from that angle, if someone is holding back in terms of not releasing their content, thinking that it's good or bad because maybe they're comparing it to the States or other content pieces in India, that's what I meant in terms of not being a good idea.
I think in general, that's a trend that's going to keep growing with time. So obviously in India, more people will YouTube, more people will podcast. People are already pretty big on Instagram. More people will Twitch, who knows. Even in the US, like we're actually only scratching the surface. Like everybody will eventually, I think personally, feel the desire to put themselves out there in some form or the other. And audio is a very comfortable transitionary form to do that because obviously it's just your voice and you can be anonymous if you want, which you can't do over video. And I think that's a very good way for, if I could be grandiose here, like society to go. You know, like art and self-expression does not need to be reserved for the super talented or the super crazies, right? Like you can actually just start doing it on a very low level, whether you want to do it as in written or audio. So coming back to what you were saying, the second thing I was thinking about when you were talking about self-reflection is how important is feedback? Like what is really the purpose of the first episode? I mean, on one hand, the importance of the first episode and the reason that nobody should be intimidated is that there's no other way to start a podcast. By definition, you will have a first episode. It's just an important step. And hey, the fact that it's hard and, you know, usually cringy, that's the reason everybody doesn't have a show. And that's more reason why you or anybody should have a show is because you have to be willing to get across that hurdle. But then, you know, we did this with Film Feud, right? Like we sent it out to get feedback and it's hard to even imagine now to put our friends through listening to that first episode because it was pretty much unlistenable to at least anybody who wasn't us. What is the right thing to do? Is it just a vehicle for feedback, your first episode? Is it something that you basically experiment? Like, is it better to keep it as a demo and go from there, get feedback? Or is it better to put yourself out there, release the episode, then get feedback?
I think the latter for almost all cases. The only thing that I think this differs for is if your show or if your idea for the show is an interview-based show. Because then, apart from just the podcasting side of things, another thing, an added angle that you need to sort of hone, a skill set that you need to develop is interviewing in general, right? Because
very underrated skill set, don't you think?
It's very underrated. It's actually very, very difficult. Anyone can interview anyone, but to have it, to make it relevant, to actually extract good material, good content from the person you're interviewing is a very tough skill, right? Asking the right questions is a very tough skill in life in general.
I'm always very impressed with WTF with Marc Maron and to a certain extent Joe Rogan, because both those podcasts, the thing that's like an outlier, their core competency is the interviewing skills of the respective interviewers, which, by the way, are very different. Like Marc Maron goes deep and sensitive and, you know, traces back history. Joe Rogan can just riff on anything, especially the weird things. And both of those things are so unique, and the questions and the conversation results in so unique. That helped me recognize interviewing as a skill. And of course, just like any other skill, you're going to be at your worst when you first start out.
Right. So just to wrap up that point, if you're starting a new show, which is an interview-based show, right, then maybe it might be a good idea to practice your interviewing on or off the mic just to get a better sense of it. But apart from that, there's absolutely no reason to not release your first episode. And we were discussing feedback earlier in terms of how this first episode should be a vehicle for feedback. One thing that people should keep in mind is that because it's their first episode and not a lot of unknown people will be listening to it, it's going to be friends and family. There might be a little distorted feedback that you get because there are people you know and you like and who like you as well. So
always a problem with feedback, right?
They might not always be brutally honest in terms of your show. We have a few friends. We're lucky enough to have a few friends who just call it out. But that still doesn't help. So even with Film Feud particularly, we started getting a good sense of what user feedback would be maybe episode 5, 6, 7 onwards. And up until then, it was just our gut plus the feedback we were getting from friends and family, which I knew from day one wasn't pure.
Yeah.
It was definitely biased. So whatever you can extract from that, obviously there is always information you can extract from that.
But I also feel there's a tendency to be self-protective, right? To only seek feedback from people who you know won't really rip you to pieces, right? And that's actually the real hump to get over in terms of seeking feedback. In general, with feedback, I'm very, very cognizant in any aspect of my life too. Constantly hammering, please be brutal, please be brutal.
Right.
That's all I'm looking for. I don't even ask for positive feedback, although in the case of a podcast, it's always good to know because you want to know things you should focus on and things you shouldn't. And by the way, side note, when somebody asks me for feedback, I spend like, you know, for a resume or like an email or any written word or anything, I'm very mindful. I'll spend like one whole paragraph just talking about how I'm going to be super brutal. That's the only thing I think is helpful. I hope you don't take it to heart. I'm not writing too many positive things.
People are emotional, man.
I will usually in that first paragraph just get like some great positive things out of the way, almost like manipulate the person a little bit and then just be as brutal as I can as possible. Because that's the whole point, right? Even if that person hurts in the short term, ideally, hopefully they'll realize in the long term that that's what was useful.
And specific to people who are aiming to start their own podcast, if they can't take negative feedback well, then you're never really going to be good at it, or you're never going to have your show do well, right? It's the same for anything in terms of content, right? If you have a YouTube channel or if you're a singer or an actor, if you're any sort of artist, if you can't take bad feedback well, then you're never really going to get better. You're just going to stay the same. Just start building this whole silo around you that, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. People like me. People like what I'm doing. And then it just stagnates. Whatever you're doing just stagnates.
Or you end up like Fox News and you just build your own like following without whatever. Not to get political. But I think the interesting thing you brought up a moment ago was mentioning your gut. At the end of the day, no matter how much feedback you get, right, a podcast for the most part starts out as a baby, like a passion baby. It's a passion project. Or it's just self-expression. And so what matters at the end of the day is your gut, right? And unlike a high-budget TV show or even like a YouTube channel where you put in a lot to buy cameras and equipment and do all of that stuff, like this is a low-cost experiment, right? So if you really feel a certain way about something, you want to express it, you want to have a podcast, maybe you should ignore a lot of feedback, right? Like it's a fine balance, but your gut should always win in that conflict.
Yeah, I think a good sense of measure there would be the only reason, to your point, someone would start a podcast is if they're passionate about what they want to start a podcast about. It's you should be having fun doing it. You should enjoy it. So if the feedback gets to a point where you have to change so many things where it's work and not fun, then you know you're not going to sustain that show. You're not going to do 20, 30, 40, 100 episodes of that where you're working and not having fun at all. So yeah, I mean, ignore a lot of it, but be mindful of what you're ignoring, because if it's a very heavy point, if it's a very important aspect of the show that that is not fitting well with a lot of people out there, but you're continuously doing it, then also your show won't become as big as you want it to be, maybe.
So what kind of negative feedback did we get? And did we cater to it at all?
That's an interesting question. I think a lot of feedback that we got, obviously because our early feedback was mostly positive, it was positive reinforcement by a lot of friends and family that, yeah, you're doing a good show, or we're liking what you're doing.
Yeah, but I constantly said, please be brutal. And I actually got a couple of things. You might remember this. I was told that digging too deep into a movie and not actually talking about the scene, because we have just watched a movie.
Right.
Our listeners, except for our most dedicated listeners, are not watching the movie before they listen to our show.
That's right.
And so it's hard to remember the specific details. I mean, people watch a lot of movies in life and they don't remember most of them. So it's weird for us to talk about a specific detail and, you know, just be really excited or passionate about it without actually telling to the audience and the listener what it is. And it felt unnatural to us in the beginning, right? Because at the end of the day, when we are feuding, it's actually us having a conversation. We kind of ignore the world. We don't keep the listeners in mind. It's actually how we feel about things, or maybe are pretending to. But we started doing that. We incorporated that piece of feedback.
Yeah, I think it was pretty important. I got that from a few people as well, in terms of how we sort of assumed that everyone who was listening remembered the movie as clearly as we did, even though we'd just seen the movie. So that's something we started doing now. We make sure that if we're talking about a specific scene, that we just gloss over what went down in that scene just to jog people's memory. So that was an important piece of feedback. I think a good piece of feedback we got was around trivia about the movie. So little nuggets of information that people might not know. We did it in one particular episode. We got a lot of good feedback about it. Not the first episode. I think this was third or fourth. And we actually got, we were told by a lot of people that, you know, that was engaging. That was something that a listener might get absorbed into, as opposed to if we're just talking about sequentially about how the movie progressed, that might not be as engaging because people don't remember the movie as clearly as we did. There's still a lot of feedback we're getting from people. And as the show is doing better and better, we're getting a lot of feedback from people we don't know, which is the feedback we value the most, because it's actually fans of the show who have thoughts about what the show should be and what it shouldn't be. So it's pretty interesting, man. Do you remember any feedback that we didn't cater to?
You know, with the first episode, like you said, it's friends and family. And I remember sending it to some of our friends who were Star Wars nerds because we thought they'd enjoy that. So they didn't actually mind the conversation too much. But around the fifth or sixth episode, I remember getting a piece of feedback that I didn't agree with, was that we spoke about and referred to a lot of movies that were outside the movie we were arguing, right? They're the equivalent of like pop culture references to us. We're movie nerds. And, you know, if I refer to a scene in The Godfather, or even if it's a less common movie, if I refer to a scene from City of God as a way to allude to something, or I name directors and actors, a lot of people who are listening to an episode because they love that movie, let's just say The Departed, you know, very mainstream movie, they're not on board with us when we're just pulling from every direction. But I did feel that at the core, like, we are trying to have a conversation that's very authentic to us, you know, and that's just exactly how we would talk. And maybe we're not keeping the audience in mind in that very moment, but there's definitely a certain section of the audience, because I know I would be in that section, that would want a very authentic conversation like that. Like, I know when movie nerds talk, the lingo and the pulls are from all over the place. That's what makes a community. That's what, like, actually manifests itself when you're passionate about something. So that's one piece that I'm mindful of every time I, like, go overboard with it, but I kind of want to continue just being authentic.
No, I completely agree. We have a show about movies, and if we're talking about a certain movie, then to contain it within that movie's environment, it's very tough. It's fun for us to refer to other movies, big movies, famous movies, characters, actors, or scenes, or dialogues, or stuff like that. So we're always going to be sprinkling that in. It's very tough for us to keep that out.
Okay. I mean, is there any nugget of advice that you would give to people when it just comes to their first episode, whether it's recording it or sitting on it and realizing that, hey, it's not up to par, should I release it or not?
I think just a summary of what we spoke about, whatever you record, you should release it. I think it'll only do good for you. It won't have any drawbacks. It won't pull you back in any way, because it'll help you realize, which I think is very important, it'll help you realize how good you truly are, which is very important. People have a perception in their mind in terms of how good their content is versus how good it actually is. And the sooner they realize that, the sooner they learn that, the better. So release whatever you have, put it out there in the world, and just take it from there.
And I would just say that a lot of the excitement gets pushed into the first episode when you finally get around to doing it. And if you hear yourself and you realize maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, it can be a little deflating. It can feel intimidating. But to me personally, the learning curve of realizing exactly where you're at, which is usually the bottom at the first episode, and climbing that curve, that's been the most fun. So I encourage everybody to actually look forward to that journey as much as they feel excited about the first episode.